Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, here to help you find success in all areas of your life. The power is in your hands. Join our network for free at besteveryou.com. And now, here's Elizabeth.
Well, not just me tonight. We've got Cody Bowker with us of Georgetown University Baseball. So go Hoyas. We've got a special guest. And, you know, Cody, I get to just mom up baseball with you for a while.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My favorite thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. So, I thought what fun to have you. And we were going to have Derek Smith on with you, but it sounds like he's not feeling the best. So we wish him some good healing energy and hope he feels better. And we'll have Derek on another time. So for now, we're just going to go through all these questions that I have with you. So how's that sound, Cody? Good.
That sounds like an awesome time. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So I am just going to, you are doing so well at Georgetown. It is so cool. You're from Maine, and I want to go there first and talk about your career in Maine, if you would, please, because it's really special to have kids from Maine there at Georgetown University, and there have been a few, and it's amazing, and I think you started this trend. So tell us all about high school and Maine first, if you would.
Well, first off, I want to thank you for having me on. It's an honor. And then I also wanted to wish my mom a happy birthday. It happens to be a birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah. Maine is obviously kind of like niche and kind of like a hole in the wall. Like, people wouldn't think that like good baseball players or like some good like students really come from the state. But I mean, obviously, me and then a lot of other people, including obviously two of your sons who have kind of made the step onto the world stage down here in DC, where it's actually above 70 degrees out today, which is really nice.
called me and was like, "Hey mom, it's 75. I'm like, Hey, Chloe.
Oh yeah. That's exactly what I told her. But, growing up in Maine, for me was awesome. I love spending time outdoors, and I remember, like, growing up, me and my dad would head to the field or even just head outside in our yard and throw the baseball around and just kind of enjoy the outdoors. And that kind of led me to fall in love with baseball and in love with actually some warmer weather, because you need kind of that warmer weather to play. But, that's kind of how I fell in love with the game and why kind of growing up in Maine was really, really good for me, because, I mean, the outdoors are super, super nice.
And you can really throw snowballs at like 90 miles an hour too, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
Cam used to get so frustrated. He'd be off the back deck just hurling snowballs into the woods, just like melt. But
yep.
You had
– You got to make the best of the cold.
You do, yeah. You had a standout career here. It says here you're about 6'2", although to me, are you 6'3", 6'4", or are you 6'2", or how's that going? You seem like you got taller.
I want to say I wish. I think it depends on my hair day. It depends if my hair is puffed up or matted down, but I'd like to say that I'm 6'2".
Okay, well, I like to say I'm 5'3" on a big hair day, so I'm with you there.
Yeah.
I know I stand up next to you, and I'm like, wow, you are way taller than I am.
Yeah.
You, here in Maine, you led the Thornton Academy to a Class A state tournament. That was crazy great. Congratulations on that back then.
Thank you.
And what year was that? It was 2 years ago?
2022.
All right. And yeah, you were the Gatorade Player of the Year from here. All sorts of great comments about you online there. I was just kind of reading, but I know Perfect Game ranked you as where you were ranked, and you ended up with a 6-0 record that year, I think, with a 0.48 ERA, 74 strikeouts, and 44 innings pitched. So we can see why you were the Gatorade Player of the Year and all that good stuff. So congratulations on that. And
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep going on Maine for a little bit here, because you came back to us. You didn't have to, and you did. I saw you here last summer in Maine.
Yeah, for Sanford Mainers.
Yeah, tell me about that.
I mean, it couldn't have been a better situation to play kind of some high-level baseball close to home. Like, my parents were able to make the trip down to watch me play, which is one of my favorite things to do. And then I was actually able to stay with my girlfriend pretty much the entire summer, which was super awesome and super fun.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. So, yep, Sanford Mainers, they're down there in Sanford, and they have a lot of players from all over the country, right? It's not just Maine kids.
Oh, yeah. Coast
like,
to coast.
Like, somebody that you played with that you were like, wow, that's cool. I get to play with you, and you're here.
There were some guys, obviously, from, like, some big-name baseball schools, which was pretty cool, and then we also had some kind of West Coast guys, which was kind of cool to hear their perspective on baseball and – yeah, it was super awesome.
Yeah. So you mentioned going from Maine to Georgetown. I know you're in your second year there, but so people can, you know, there's lots of people listening, and there's lots of people who are like, I want to play in college, you know, all those things. What's it like to go from high school to college and play baseball? Because it's, is it like having two full-time jobs or three?
I would say absolutely. I don't think there's any way to sugarcoat it, but I will say that, like, me personally, I'm completely, like, up for the challenge and willing to kind of do whatever it takes, whether it's, like, spending some extra time practicing or even staying up late to do some studying. But the transition is definitely tough. There's a lot more expected out of you from high school to college. I mean, and this is, like, there's even more expected out of you kind of going from a main school where you kind of can't play all year round to a Division I school where you're pretty much doing baseball things every single day. So it's definitely a big jump, but it was also the time in my life where I can safely say that I did the most learning I've ever done. So it's kind of you get what you put in, and I've enjoyed the entire thing.
Yeah. What would you say is different this year for you? Like, what have you learned from going from being I'm going to say freshman to sophomore because I'm old, but sometimes people say first year to second year, whatever it is.
Yeah.
what have you learned from last year?
I would say this year I have a little bit better of, like, a routine. And then I'm also aware of kind of the resources that Georgetown has for, like, baseball players. Like, I've been able to see our trainer a little bit more to kind of get some extra work. I know the hours at the gym, so I'll go there extra time. So just things like that I know maybe last year I didn't know about. Now that I'm kind of in a little bit better routine, I'm able to take advantage of those things.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Maine just a little bit more here. Now, there are, I'm going to guess, three of you from Maine on the team, including the coach. So
yep.
Talk about Maine for a minute in terms of who's there. And, you know, Coach T couldn't be a more cool human being. I mean, he's just the best.
Absolutely.
So, you know, chat up Coach T and tell me about Derek too while you're at it.
Well, obviously they're very relatable just because they're from the same state. We kind of grew up doing the same things. Like, I know I've talked with Coach T specifically about some of, like, the outdoor stuff that everybody in Maine kind of likes to do. Derek, I've got to talk to and got to know a lot better too. He went to Kenny Bunk, which is kind of right down the road from TA. So I was actually able to play against him. It was my freshman year, his senior year, and I kind of knew him as an acquaintance. But it's been good to get to know him. And the funny part is, all three of us, like, know all of the same people. Like, we'll mention somebody, and Coach T will know him. Derek will know him. Like, so that's one really cool thing about being from Maine, is kind of everybody knows everybody, and we're able to talk about things like that.
Yeah. Don't you think it's pretty neat that Coach T is able to bring talent from Maine to Georgetown? I think that's really special. He keeps an eye out on people, and he, you know, he always says dream big, and he means it.
Yep. No, he does a very good job with that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So let's talk about this year. So Georgetown is picked to finish fourth in the Big East, and I think you just got a preseason accolade as well. Am I right? I think you just got Yeah. Now, what do you think about that? Do you think when you're p- picked fourth, you go, that's not right. We should be picked first because we're going to be first.
Yep, exactly. I mean, you got the right thinking there. I would say all preseason awards are kind of crap and kind of need to be earned. So just like any preseason, like, individual award or preseason team award, like, that, all that stuff needs to be earned throughout the season. I feel like our team has is ready to earn those things.
Yeah. Now, in social media, for everybody following, there's Hoya Saxa, and then there's also like a hashtag team and a number. Last year was Team 153. This year is Team 154. Can you explain that to our listeners so they understand what that means? It's not an inside joke.
Absolutely.
You know, like, it's meaningful.
Mm-hmm, correct. So Team 153 was just the 153rd team in program history, and then this year we're going to kind of start out with the 154th team in program history, and just kind of shows how long Georgetown baseball has been around.
For a really long time, right?
Yeah.
And let's talk about Team 153, because, you know, Team 154 gets to improve on Team 153, and that's a tall order, because now, do you have all the accolades there with all the things that Team 153 did, or should I read them for you and you can just chime in? Which would you like?
Yeah, I don't have them like all at the top of my head, but I definitely can mention a few. Like, the biggest one for me is kind of breaking that, like, not having won a game in the Big East championship, which is kind of what our team goal is, and which is a very big step in the right direction. So that was kind of the biggest one that stood out for me. And then obviously Mr. Bloss kind of figured it out there on the mound and having a really, really good season, and then getting his name called on draft day.
Yeah, 99th overall, the Astros select Jake Bloss. I mean, how cool is that? And he's a great human too. He's just he's funny and nice. And I talk to him in DMs and Instagram every once in a while, just like, how's it going? You have a baseball card? I want one. Sign it. Send it.
Yeah.
You know, he's cool.
Yep.
So 30-plus wins, the first ever Big East tournament win, like you just said, back-to-back Big East playoff appearances, 89 home runs, 927 total bases, and on and on and on. 4,500 people watching you guys play in Prasco Park in, where was that, Mason, Ohio. That is a cool – let's talk about Prasco Park for just a second. That is a great place, isn't it?
It's a very nice place, and that's where we want to be.
Yeah, we drove from Maine to Ohio to stay there, and it was so much fun. I remember on one of the games I had Bloss and Cam in the back of our car. It was super funny because it was a pretty small car.
All part of the fun, though.
Yeah, it was very fun. That's a beautiful, beautiful stadium. They do a great job taking care of the Big East tournament, don't they? It's just gorgeous.
They do a very, very good job.
Yeah, and I mean, they even had like free food. I don't know if the players got to do that, but everybody in the stands, you know, it's like free food everywhere and free merchandise and free everything. It was a really, really neat place. So I want to just give them some props there for just taking care of everybody. So now let's talk about you. You last year, you were a two-way player who made 14 appearances on the mound with 4 starts. That's a big deal for a freshman. That is really cool. You had a 2.57 ERA in 42 innings of work. I'm just going to keep reading. 47 strikeouts. And here's a big one. The batting average against you was .206. You played in 39 games and started 29 of them, on and on and on. There's hitting stats as well. You earned your first collegiate hit against Presbyterian. I think I have that on video, actually. I think I sent it to your mom.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's awesome. So you're not only there, you're excelling. You made a change this year to be a pitcher only. Is that correct or incorrect?
Correct, yep.
How's that and why?
So the big reason why is just I kind of found some more success on the mound last year. And then the kind of other big reason is I just kind of want to spend all my time at practice kind of perfecting and learning actually a ton. On the mound, and it was a decision kind of between me and some of the coaches, and I actually got the opportunity to play down in the Cape Cod League this summer, and it was just kind of as a pitcher, so I wanted to kind of spend my time learning how to pitch and kind of excelling in that because it's never something that I've done before.
Let's talk about that Cape Cod League. That's like almost being in the MLB already. I mean, that's where everybody wants to be able to pitch or play in the Cape Cod League. How was that? Did you spend part of your summer there, all of your summer there? I think you bumped from the Mainers to there, correct?
I was going to get the opportunity to, but didn't quite make it down there. I was lucky enough to go catch one of my teammates, Owen, and Everett playing a playoff game down there, which was super fun.
Okay, yep, so I don't have that quite right, but yeah. That's just amazing. Tell us about your pitching coach. He's also one of my favorite human beings on the planet at Georgetown.
Well, Coach Capen is just all around amazing. Like, I'm pretty sure he gets kind of annoyed at me for all the questions that I ask him.
Yeah.
I'll text him and I'll be like, hey, like, are you in your office? And he's trying to kind of work some things out or create a plan for the week or whatever. And I'm just barging into his office, kind of asking him questions, trying to talk pitching. But I mean, I can definitely say that he's kind of taught me pretty much everything I know about pitching up to this point. And I've just learned a ton from him. And it's just a big reason I am what I am.
Now, who are the other coaches there this year? I know we one of the coaches left to go to the West Coast, and he was awesome too.
Right.
So it's just kind of you can't use the word awesome enough when it's like Georgetown University baseball. Hoya's awesome. that's my word. So who are the other coaches this year?
So obviously we have Coach T, which is our head coach. We have Coach Capen, who I believe is the associate head coach and our pitching coach. We have Coach Brock Keener, who's the hitting coach and the catching coach. We have Coach Mo, who I believe is Director of Player Development. And then we have an assistant in Trevant Johnson.
Hmm. All right. And, everybody combines there to help out. The field itself is not on campus. Explain that. Because a lot of times the field's right there, you just walk out and it's right there. In Georgetown's case, the field is not there. Talk about last year's field and this year's field and where you guys are playing and all that. Because last year we had vans and it was sort of, do we still have vans?
Oh, we still have vans.
We still have vans. Okay.
Yep.
Tell us. I'll be quiet. You talk.
Last year we played at Washington Nationals Youth Academy, which is down in Southeast DC. It was probably, it's crazy to say this actually, because in Maine, it wouldn't take this long to go that far, but I think it's 8 miles, but it ends up taking 30 minutes, which is crazy to think about. But, so we would drive down there pretty much every day for practice. And then we'd play there. But this year we've actually been able to upgrade to, Capital One Park over in Tyson's Corner, Virginia, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same idea. It's probably a 25-30 minute drive, and we all kind of hop in the vans, we chat, and then we get to the field and we do our practicing and we have our game and then we drive back.
Yeah, and that is a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous field. We went there for Alumni Day a few months ago. And tell us about those facilities, because that's special. And when you go into the elevators of one of the hotels, there's pictures of Georgetown baseball. And I mean, they're proud, very proud to have you.
I mean, I'd say it's an honor to be able to play at a place like that and have the opportunity to play there. I mean, it's, like you said, very, very nice. I believe one of the conference tournaments is being D1 conference tournaments being held there. So it's a really kind of prestigious ballpark. It's actually really new, which is also really cool and kind of modern, which is super nice. And we're just very fortunate to be able to play there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's gorgeous over there. Who drives the vans?
You're talking to them. It's pretty much our sophomore class will drive the vans, and occasionally some juniors will take turns. And we have four vans, and every morning I wake up and I assign four van drivers. I try to make it even, and it's pretty much how it rolls.
Is anybody you don't want me driving? Other than Cam.
A few of those.
Other than Cam. Cam's like, nope, not doing it.
Yeah,
nope.
No, I'm kind of with him, but.
Yeah. It's funny.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about the upcoming season. Let's talk about teammates, you know, and go there. The upcoming season, what can we expect? What's your schedule like? It sounds like you guys are in Arizona.
Yeah, that's a super highlight of our season. We kind of get to kick it off. We get to go kind of towards the West Coast, which is somewhere, I've never been to Arizona, and I know some of the guys in the team haven't been there either, and we're going to head down there, play Friday, Saturday, Sunday against three really, really good teams, which is exactly who we want to match up against. And then after that, we're pretty much we got challenges every weekend, so that's the plan, and we're going to do our best to win the Big East, which is our goal.
Yeah, it sounds like this year you guys played Duke. And
we got Duke, we got Wake Forest, we got Ohio State. So we're definitely playing some big name schools, but that's who we want to compete against.
Yeah, that just levels everything up, right? It just is
exactly.
Everybody just plays up. Will you guys have any, like, what's a big difference between 154 and team 154 and 153 in terms of people and things like that? Tell us some of the highlights of team 153 versus 154, you know, all that stuff. Just talk about your teammates.
Well, I'd say the biggest thing is that team 153 just kind of laid kind of an expectation and a work ethic for future teams to build off of. So, obviously we worked really, really hard to accomplish the things we did last year. And as the teams keep going up, like 154, 155, 156, we're going to be expected to do more and more. And we've just kind of, we've built a good foundation. Coach T has helped with that tremendously. So that's kind of the thing. We have a standard, as Coach T likes to call it, and the standard is the standard. And as the years go on, the standard is just going to keep getting higher.
Yeah, that's a good one. What can we expect from different starters and things like that? Do you mind talking about specific teammates, or is that unfair?
Yeah,
I don't know
totally.
The rules. Talk about Owen or just some of the players. So it's just always fun to talk about. You know, everybody's so awesome that I can't even pick, but you know.
Yeah. Totally. We have 1 through 40 guys who have worked their ass off to be able to play. Owen, I give him crap all the time about kind of getting in the gym and we need to work more, we need to do this, we need to do that. And we kind of love bickering back and forth at each other. But he's going to be super awesome, and I'm super lucky to be able to pitch to him. Everett came off a very good summer. He's looking to be kind of one of our best pitchers, and I'm excited for him. We have some grad transfers who are looking really good, and Josh Rawling and Phil Hollerback. Then Marco was on the team last year. He's looking really good. Jake Hyde is a blast to be around. He's a very, very good leader. Mike Eze, he's coming back off a very, very good season last year, which is super awesome. And then obviously we have guys like Derek Smith and Kavi Caster who are looking to kind of help us out for their 1 year here.
Yeah. How do you fill shoes like Ubaldo Lopez? It takes like five people to do what he did.
You're going to pick, obviously, the people you're going to talk about is probably Ubi and Bloss, which are two very big shoes to fill. But, I've called Ubi multiple times this year just kind of talking about the team and talking about kind of ways to do that. But I think we kind of shift our team dynamic to fit the guys that we have now, which is kind of our best chance to start winning some games.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, to shift the team dynamic to who you have now, because it's different, right? It's a different set of guys, a different set of teams you play, different everything. Is there another Mando helmet coming back?
We got to work on that because there's not. We got to figure that out.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. My mom got him the Mando sword. Now I'm like, oh, boy, I'm glad he's got everything. He's like, should I send this? I'm like, I don't think you can have a sword in the dugout, Cam. I think you should just keep that one. But it's funny. Yeah, that was neat. Yeah. But that was neat when you guys had, you know, had something for home runs or whatever. That Mando helmet was kind of like it was, I heard it hurt people's heads because of the padding inside and stuff, but it still was pretty fun.
Yeah.
And I know that
was super fun.
Yeah, the kids, well, the thing with that was neat too, is the kids at Prasco Park lined up to try the helmet on. I don't know if you saw that or not, but they were, made a little line to try. I thought that was so sweet. So I think
things like that
you guys do, it's about you guys, but people pick up on it, and it's real good fun for people to follow and things like that. So I wonder what shenanigans you guys will have in the dugout this year. Respectful ones though, because you guys aren't a shooting team. So what else should we talk about? Because we're kind of there with time and things like that. I don't want to keep you too long, about 30 minutes or so. But is there anything else that you want to talk about in terms of your team? I kind of want to talk about mindset with you, if you don't mind, for
maybe
5 minutes or so. Because, you know, we're the best ever you show, and it's a lot to be a student athlete, a person, you know, to not playing sports or anything like that. But what keeps your mindset going? Like when you don't strike somebody out, or you have a failure or whatever, how do you personally pick back up and keep going?
For me, I'm just kind of like a more goal-oriented person. So, I mean, as kind of blatant as it is, like, I want to play professional baseball and I want to get drafted very high. So those are my goals. And there's little things I need to do in order to reach those goals. Like, I have to practice every day. I have to perform well. So, for me, just like you mentioned, if I let up a home run or I lose the game for the team, or like something along those lines, I know that I just need to work hard for my next opportunity. And for me, it actually, it kind of fuels me to work harder to pretty much ensure that outcome doesn't happen again. So I just kind of use it as fuel, and I'll use it to practice extra or kind of maybe tweak some things if that's what's needed. And I kind of go from there.
Now let's reverse that a little bit and talk about, okay, you could just rest on your laurels and be like, yep, I'm great. What keeps you from doing that?
I've actually talked with Coach Capen about this. I'm just somebody who's like never satisfied. So, no matter if I'm pitching great or pitching, not so great, like I'm not satisfied with my result, and I'm always just trying to get better. Like I think Capen mentioned when I kind of got him on the phone and I was talking to him about that, like, he's like, Cody, you're not going to be satisfied until you're a Hall of Famer in the MLB one day. Like, that's when you can be satisfied. And I was like, that's actually really true. So that's how I kind of go about that.
Yeah. Thank you for that. What do you say to those people who are cut or are on the bench or who aren't playing or, you know, you're playing all the time and maybe they're not? What do you say to those?
I would kind of say the same thing, just not being satisfied. Like, I'm not satisfied that I'm not playing, and I'd like to earn a spot. So kind of outworking everybody. I mean, there's no real secrets. It's kind of practicing more than the other people and giving them a run for their money. Like, that's literally the name of the game in college baseball is – kind of, there's always somebody behind me and that's ready to take my spot if I'm not performing well.
That makes sense. What are little things that you can do that are even free and don't require talent, for example, that make you a leader?
I would say communication is a big part. I like to communicate with all my teammates, especially in baseball where players are split between like the pitchers and the position players. Like I like to be able to communicate with both sides and kind of bring us together. So I'd say like communicating and saying whether like you need something or mm-hmm. asking questions. That's kind of how I would approach that.
Okay. And then this is, some of these questions are from people listening. So you're getting, like 20 questions win a prize. That's where they're coming from.
Keep shooting.
Off-field behavior goes on the field as well. Can you talk about that? How important your off-field behavior is? Because you, as a human being, carry everything that you do 24/7 right onto that baseball field.
Yeah.
What do you do to control off-field behavior?
Coach T kind of uses that as an example. Like he says to us all the time, like, don't embarrass the program. So things like that, like, just kind of keep
yourself.
Us checked. What did you say? I'm sorry.
I said, or yourself. Don't embarrass
yourself. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Oh, obviously. And so that's kind of what he kind of goes by. And then obviously, like, the goal is to play baseball. So I, like you said, I evolve everything around that. So I just carry myself in a way that if my coach was there, my mom was there, my teacher was there, they'd approve of whatever action that I'm doing.
Yeah, I think it is so, this is me, just my chiming in. I think it is so important not to be, you know, two, three or four people and just be you and be authentically you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've seen people act one way on a field and then a completely different way, you know, someplace else. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. That doesn't reconcile. So I think that's wisdom right there. And then you have a question of what would, let me read this, hang on. What would you say to the younger guys on the team? Like, what do you, or again, I think we asked this earlier actually, but let's go there again. Like, what are some of the things that freshmen can do on the team now that you're not a freshman anymore that you think would help them get acclimated to, you know, college student athlete life?
I've said this a bunch of times, but just for yourself. I've had freshmen ask me like, oh, like it says this on the schedule. How do I do this? Or what time do I need to be here? How do I approach this? So like things like that and asking an older guy who's kind of gone through it before, that would be my best way to kind of approach that and kind of get some insight so you're not going in blind.
Oh, here's a good question. What shouldn't you do? That list is long. What are some things that you would say to new people on the team or freshmen or whatever, what not to do? What's something to do? Here's a no-no.
I don't want to say there's a lot of those, but just kind of like you were talking about earlier, like if your mom wouldn't approve you doing it, then you probably shouldn't do it. So things like going out before a game or showing up late for practice or forgetting equipment, like stuff like that is just is going to lean people the wrong way. And you should just like you said, like it's a no-no.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. One more and then we're going to let you go. Can we talk about how cool it is that Rawlings gives you, you know, does gloves and things like that? I don't know if that's happening again this year, but I sure would like to talk about that. That was a special moment.
Yeah, I mean those are pieces of equipment, and especially like our gloves, where those are things you can keep for the rest of your life. And it's got the big Georgetown logo on it. You get to kind of customize it the way you want. Those are just kind of, you know, you look at that glove and you remember, oh, like that was the year that Georgetown won their first like playoff game, like some stuff like that, which is super super cool. And we're very lucky where we're able to kind of get that equipment and play with top-tier equipment.
Yeah. Does Rawlings, like, let you guys pick? Do they just go, okay, here's a bunch of gloves, good luck? Or how does that work?
Coach T is actually very nice, and he lets us kind of customize gloves kind of based on the year. So some of the older guys will get custom gloves, and the younger guys will kind of get these, stock gloves. So he actually goes out of his way to order gloves individually for every player.
That's pretty cool. That goes into the spoiled category.
Very spoiled.
You, Yeah, you guys have a lot of I guess uniforms is might be the word for it, but a lot of different, you know, different game day uniforms too. You know, sometimes you just get one and here it is, and away in a home. But you guys have clothing to pick from. That's pretty neat too, right?
Yeah, it's very nice to pick gear and Coach T does a very good job of making us look good on the field, which is super awesome.
Yeah, awesome. All right. Well, it has been wonderful chatting with you. I'm so grateful for your time and energy, and I'm just grateful that you're here, and I hope you have a wonderful season, and I hope the Hoyas have a wonderful season, and we'll be following and rooting for you guys. And, you guys go to guhoyas.com/sports/baseball. And then, Cody, where can people follow you? Like, if people want to follow you and what you're doing, where would you like them to follow you?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you can look at my Instagram. There's pretty much baseball pictures and pictures of me and my girlfriend. But it's just at Cody Bowker.
Okay. And then I think the Hoya baseball team is on there, too. It's at Hoya Baseball. And I think they hang out on Twitter, too, which is G-Town Baseball, at G-Town Baseball. And then if you want to follow Coach T, it's G-U Coach T, I think. But anyway, all right, great speaking with you. Thank you for being here. And I hope we get to speak with you again. Maybe you'll come back and update us how the season's going or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your time, and thank you for all the questions. And anytime you need a question answered, if I can help out, just let me know.
Yeah, perfect. All right. And again, we hope Derek feels better, and we'll do maybe a show separately with him, or you guys both can come on or whatever you want to do. So, but all right, that's it. We'll close out there. Thank you very much for being with us, everybody. Take care and have a great night. Thank you, Cody.
Thank you for listening. We're so glad you tuned in. Be brave, be bold, be you, and remember to visit us at besteveryou.com.